etch your own path in the pantheon of human history. This has been Black History Month 365. BAM 365, where you find every day Black history is made.
That cool beat of Ray Lynch's Clouds Below Your Knees signals 8 p.m. Wednesday in time for So What's Your Story, the only program originating in Houston devoted entirely to storytelling right here on listener-sponsored KPFT 90.1 Houston. I'm your host, Dr. Hank Rubicek, and along with an ensemble of stellar hosts, Greg Audell, Drs. Warren Hollerman and Mary Edgerton, and engineer and media maven Nicole Rochelin, we connect the world with the power of story. And tonight, Dr. Randall Robinson is joining me as co-host because this is his thank you gift for donating generously when he was Warren's guest during the recent fund drive. Randy, I hope you don't see this as a thankless gift.
Hardly at all. This is just a coolest thing. Thank you for
cool,
me
huh?
Yeah,
right. You
wonderful.
Must be on something, Randy. There's no way that could have been as eloquent
groovy,
as
man.
Long.
Groovy.
Okay, groovy
it's
is
groovy.
Good. I like that. You got to be over 60 to be on this show, I think. But you're not even that. Okay, Randy's been a guest on this program a couple of times, and I'm happy to have him join me tonight, especially given our guest teller, who we will introduce in just a moment. But first, I want to remind everyone why this program is an icon for community radio, because we place the spotlight on storytellers who take us on soulful journeys with moving personal narratives and on the whimsical jaunts found in traditional tales. Now, storytellers allow us to enter the windows of our lives by mixing a mosaic of ingredients to form a recipe for human authenticity. And authenticity, a rare find, is an attribute of tonight's guest teller, Dr. Bishop Titus Stewart. Randy, why don't you tell us a little bit about him?
Sure thing. Dr. Titus B. Stewart is a nationally recognized religious leader, an educator, and philanthropist. He is founder and chairman of T.B. Stewart Ministries, a nonprofit Christian development organization that has touched the lives of many folks. And he is pastor of Greater Emmanuel Worship Center in Houston. Bishop Stewart is also an author. His book, Rising from the Ashes, for which he has a scheduled book tour, encourages people to understand their ash moment, defined as a time when one sits on the pile of what used to be, hoping for that moment when they once again function without the what was. He's also written You Wear Favor Well, Training Days, 31 Days of Inspiration, and A Kingdom Citizen Living a Supernatural Life. Pastor Stewart is married to Lady Tammy Stewart for almost 17 years and father of Trenton. He earned his bachelor's and graduate degrees in theology from the Christian Bible Institute and Seminary here in Houston. What adds to Bishop Stewart's intrigue is that he is truly professionally ambidextrous, for he is CEO of Taylor's Tees Tailoring. And from what we know about Dr. Stewart, we're betting that exceptional storyteller can be added to his repertoire.
Thank you, Randy. You know, Randy's distinctively articulate, eloquent voice differs from mine, so you'll be able to tell us apart. So great to have you here, Dr. Stewart.
It's a joy to be here.
It really is here. I've been giving your PR director, Brittany Turner, a hard time, just sending her pathetic notes as I always do each and every day. And I'm so glad, so glad that you're here. Bishop, I often tell people that seek a good tailor and reap the rewards that you have sown. Excuse the joke. But if there's any connection between tailoring and faith, tell us what that is.
Well, it's all about looking the par. Being
there
the par.
Know. I love it.
And that's the way I connect it. looking the part and being the part.
And I knew that you would be a man to actually have an answer for that. Is that a family business?
Well, yes, I would say it is. T's Professional Tailors for Titus, Tammy, and Trent. That's my wife and my son.
Beautiful, beautiful. Pastor Stewart, what's the mission of TB Ministries, please?
It's all about, Hank, building mankind to point them to their God-given purpose in life and showing them that life, it's all about what and how you respond and how you treat it. And getting them to see that they can be any and everything that they so desire to be in life. And
sort of a spiritual compass.
Yes, yes,
very
yes.
Good. In Ash Moment, you share a powerful testimony of how God delivered you from an ash moment. Now, I know, Titus, that it's impossible to give us a comprehensive image of that moment. But can you give us a few descriptors that will inspire us to read that book?
Life is filled, Hank, with many unknowns, and that's what I experienced in life, an unknown situation that it came at a time when I least expected it, and that it caused setbacks in my life. It caused me to be in a distraught place in life, and I felt like giving up. And that's an ash moment when you feel like you just can't go that extra mile, and depression and all those type of proclivities hit you.
Yeah,
but an ash moment to me, a determined person that deals with an ash moment is a person that has a will and a want to overcome every obstacle in life.
I love that. Yeah, I've had that moment. I know that Randy has too. So many of us have. I call it sometimes like interpersonal purgatory.
Right.
Like you don't really know where to go. You don't know where to move. You don't have the guidance. So you're really stuck.
Correct.
There.
Yes.
And what your book does, if I'm hearing you correctly, is that it provides us with a more productive destination. It provides us with a guidance by which we can somehow make a move and not be as concerned about the outcome,
right,
but more concerned about the process. Does that make sense?
You said it so well, Hank.
Well, I wouldn't go that far, but thank you for saying that. Anyway, thank you. Now, you've got a set of stories that you label the destiny journey, and your first is Say It Until You See It, which I think sets us on the initial path.
Mm-hmm.
Share it with us.
Say It Till You See It. I am a person that believes that until it manifests, you have to continue to believe and to speak it and to declare it and proclaim it. And I'm a faith principle believer. And no matter what beholds the naked eye, I don't let what I see stop me from propelling and moving forward and yet believing that the best is yet to come. So every day I speak what I believe and I speak what I declare is going to manifest in my life in despite every negative situation that I may be facing in my life.
Well, give us an example of what you might see that could potentially serve as an obstacle. Give us a quick scenario, a narrative, an example of a time when you saw something that served as an obstacle and you said to yourself, no, that will not be an obstacle in my life.
Well, there was a time in my life that my wife and I, we were dreaming for a new home. And every turn that we took, we were getting a no. No matter what we applied, favor just wasn't coming in our direction. But we were determined to walk out the faith principles of God's word, and we kept speaking that one day that dream would become a reality. No matter how many no's that we were faced, we kept hearing a yes in our heart, and we just kept speaking, it's going to happen. And eventually, it did manifest.
Where did that yes come from?
My yes comes from the faith in God. I believe that the word of God and everything that God says that I can have, I can achieve. The Bible says, if I ask, I shall receive. And I believe literally everything that God's word said, and I stand on that.
It may seem to be a strange question, Pastor, but how do you hear that yes? How do you hear it? You know, there's always issues about how do I hear the yes? How do I hear God speak to me? How do you hear it?
Hank, I believe that I was born with the attitude of not letting anything get in front of me, stop me. My mind, I've always been that type of person. I find a way, even if I have to create a way. I don't let hindrances stop me from going after what I feel in my heart. So I'm too stubborn to allow anything to cause me to stagger. There is a fight within inside of me that says, hey, if you believe it, go for it. And so that is my attitude. That is my mindset about everything that I face in life.
Okay, so the situation is that when you and your wife were looking for a home, you were given more no's than you can count. And you didn't like that. And you heard a yes somewhere, somehow, in your soul, in your heart, either literally or figuratively, that positive dimension was a part of your life, part of your persona.
Yes.
It seeped in. That's what you listened to.
Yes.
And that allowed you to really eclipse all of those no's that you've heard, all of those rejections. You ignored them.
Yes, I did.
Is that fair?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Very good. You know, Randy, what do you think about that? You know, you're a minister. What do you think about the issue of total rejection? And let me ask you too, if I may, to think about it in story form. Can you think of an illustration, not to put you on the spot?
Sure.
Can you think of an illustration where you were told no many, many times, and consequently you said, I'm not dealing with these no's anymore. I'm going to find a yes.
Oh, the stories are just so many. that's life. It is overcoming stumbling blocks. You know my story partly. My wife and I could not have children biologically. We tried for 10 years. And, you know, you can interpret it that. It's the interpretation of the no. Is it God saying no? And that's a critical part of our theology, as clergy and helping other people deal with their no's. It'd be possible for us to say, God didn't let us have children.
Mm-hmm.
We chose not to think of it that way. We said, some way, we will have. And one day we did. We adopted, and they are ours. So turning a no into a yes, finding another way is sometimes part of that.
Yeah.
But you can bog down, I think, in that blame. Why is this happening?
Yeah.
Right.
I was mentioning to Titus before the show that I'm a docent at the Holocaust Museum, as you know. And the survivors are a remarkable group of people because they are individuals who have seen more human atrocities than any individual you could ever imagine. My mother wasn't one of them, and my grandfather was in Dachau for 3.5 years. And as I talk to many of these survivors, they see rejection incarnate. Everything is bad. Everything is negative. And they wonder whether God exists. They wonder whether people with any heart and soul exist, as you might imagine. And somehow, what they have told me collectively is that they turn to the famous quote that reads, "Sometimes God allows what he hates to accomplish what he loves." And even though I'm not sure that I personally accept that, I've never been in a situation where I've had to see all of these terrible atrocities looking for something that positive. But I think that in both of your situations, in both of your cases, talking about your marriages, in one case, looking for a wife, looking for a house, in another situation, looking for the birth of a child, something miraculous, something that shouldn't be difficult, but at the same time is miraculous, are two really very good scenarios. Your story, Titus, contained a powerful message about being positive, and it's so hard to be positive. So many feel what Sylvia Plath revealed when she wrote, "I talk to God, but the sky is empty." Pastor, if you had a working prescription for being positive, a prescription that people would buy, in other words, what would that prescription be?
That prescription would be and embodied in the word never. Never.
Never.
Never. Never let a challenge or a circumstance or a situation call you to bend, retreat, and cease to want to move forward and upward in life. Never.
Okay. Lever. You are listening to guest storyteller Bishop Titus Stewart on So What's Your Story, only on KPFT 90.1 FM Houston, 89.5 in Galveston, and 91.9 in Huntsville. Excuse me, I'm your host, Hank Rubicek, along with co-host Randall Robinson and the very essential Nicole Rocherlin at the controls. Randy, how does it, I know you've only been doing this a few minutes, but how does it feel to be on the other side of the mic?
Wait a minute. I'm not sure I have this thing turned correctly. Have I got it backwards?
No, you're okay, fine. You're doing fine. How does it feel to be doing this?
It's good.
Right? Because usually you're sitting here and we say, tell us a story, my friend. But now...
Yeah. Well, it's an awesome responsibility.
It is. Thank you for saying that, because that just tells us all what awesome, responsible people we are, week in and week out. We are doing a great job.
It is.
Randy, you are intimate with the kind of insights that are offered by Bishop Stewart, and our listeners need to know why. Tell us a little bit about your background.
I started preaching in high school, began working for the church, worked for the church consistently since then in one capacity or another. I've been choir director, been youth director, been the janitor. While I was youth director at another congregation, putting myself through school partly, and on to seminary, and preached. I've preached for almost 30 years now, 30-something years. And I'm the executive pastor for Moody Methodist Church in Galveston on the island.
Very good. Wonderful. Yep.
It's good to be in Texas.
Yep.
I mean, when you leave the island, you know you're coming to Texas.
That's right.
I mean, we have our own little
thing there. I understand.
Awesome.
I think I'm just pretending I understand, because I don't want to have to sit here really perplexed. But thinking I'm perplexed, even in Randy's own work as a religious leader, I'm sure that he agrees that I'm astonished about the perplexing relationship between people and God, and that is. Obviously something that is very difficult. But I know, Randy, you had a question that you wanted to ask.
Well, just thinking about, you know, the finding that yes. When you do that, it's expressed as an understanding of a blessing. I mean, that's God guiding you through that. During the no's, that's the question for me. What's it like when you just keep getting the no's? Where's the spiritual sustenance come from? And, your next story talks about, you've titled it, You Wear Favor Well.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of, during those no's, how does that favor look? So are you ready to tell that next one?
I am. Randy, that favor, it comes with a cost, a price, mm-hmm. because everyone is not always definitely for you during those times. And as David, my mind recollects on when the Bible says that David learned how to encourage himself. Mm-hmm. And you have to know how to stay focused, and that's a challenge when you know that you have a promise over your life as it relates to what God has stated about your destiny in life. Mm-hmm. And even when others don't agree and do not endorse that favor and that promise, you have to fight to stay focused, and that is a great, great challenge.
So your next story... you ready to give it for us now?
I am.
All right. I'm looking forward to hearing this.
You wear your favor well.
Yes.
Well, Hank, we are where we are today because of that word favor. Without having to rub elbows and without having to compromise our standards and our principles and our morals, I believe that as one of the definitions of the word favor is the word that God just likes you. And I say it humbly. I believe that from my mother's womb, even as a child, And when I look at my upbringing and where we are today, I have to say that God kept his eye on us and things and that I desired to do that others was doing in a negative sense. God kept me away from those particular areas of life and kept me as much as possible on the path called straight. Mm. And I am where I am today because of God. And I know that it is no one but God who placed us where we are today. I give him all the credit, all the honor for where he has brought us, and many of my friends who I grew up with, and to see where they are today, and to see the hand of God upon our lives, all the credit, it goes to the Lord. And so when you wear favor, you can't be arrogant. You have to be grateful and recognize where the elevations come from. They all come from God. Never take credit upon yourself, because when I look at my life, I don't deserve to be where I am. But if had not been for the favor of God, I would not be where I am today.
Have you got any examples of when you helped others see in themselves that they are favored by God? Do you have any examples of when... In your life, when you turned the corner and began to realize you were favored by God, what is there a narrative in there?
At the age of 29, I am a part of affiliation where the organization is over 100 years of age. And in this particular organization, denomination, it is not common for a young man to serve in the office of chairman over men who are old enough to be your father, grandfather. And when I was appointed and rather nominated and won the nomination, I made history in that organization. Never in the history has a 29-year-old stood in that position of a chairman to lead men that were way much older than he was. I consider that favor. I consider that honor. And I thank God for the maturity that he embedded in us to be able to lead and to follow the heartbeat of God and the sensitivity and to have an ear to the mouth of God for the leading and guidance to be able to lead that organization. So I give God credit and praise for that particular moment in my life.
Wonderful. Hank, what are you thinking?
Well, I'm thinking that, you know, if we are can we be given something that we don't deserve because of God's favor, and feel good about that? Or should we?
I think that in a situation like that, Hank, I think we should feel good about it, but I believe that our feelings should always stay in context.
Yeah, because the scenario that you just talked about when you made history, that's something that you clearly deserve. That's something that was really coming your way. And at the same time, I know that you were in favor, that God had you in his or her favor. I can see that. Mm-hmm. But there are times when you said a little bit earlier that, you know, sometimes we may get things that we don't necessarily deserve, but they kind of come our way. Did I hear that correctly?
I want to say yes to that, Hank, but also let me say as it relates to the word favor, there's a Greek word called charis that simply says this, that you do deserve it. If you put time in, you're faithful, you're loyal, you're committed, you stay the course, some favor comes because you did earn it.
That's a good thought.
You did earn it.
That is a good thought. Nicole, you know, Bishop Stewart came to us after you met his publicist, Brittany Turner, who's sitting right here, at a Women's Empowering Change retreat. What was it about Brittany's description of Pastor Stewart that told you we needed to hear his stories?
Well, it was mostly about her approach and her demeanor. Of course, as a wonderful communication major directed by you, Dr. Hank Rubchek.
She always says the right thing. She always says the right things. And I do mean
I have just been so grateful with the gift of being able to communicate with others right. verbally and also look at their demeanor and know when they are sincere. And because of her sincerity, and I'm being so serious, because of her sincerity, her professionalism, and because we were both at a women's empowerment event, as well as her other accomplishments, it made me really trust to know that she was doing the best that she was doing. Right. And because of her favor, then absolutely it was worth giving it a try.
Brittany, I don't mean to put you on the spot, but that's exactly what I'm doing. What do you think about that?
Well, I wasn't able to hear everything.
You're taking YouTube pictures, I know, but nevertheless.
But I find it an honor. I always try to not only represent myself, but my pastor and client as well. I am a reflection of, you are a reflection of your leader. And so I try to always be the perfect example whenever I'm going out to different events or whenever I'm meeting someone, especially when you're introducing your client as a pastor. You know, you also have to reflect that type of respect and, you know, Christianity and things of that sort. Sure. So when I met Nicole, we instantly clicked, and from there, I was, you know, it was an honor to meet her, and I was, I found it a privilege to actually introduce her to my pastor, and in hopes that she would find a liking to him as I have. And then once we were able to solidify the date, I was overwhelmed. It was joyful.
Well, we're so happy that you did, and you also, patience is another one of your adjectives, because I've been Brittany has been victim of my obsessive compulsiveness each and every day. Brittany, did you get this? Now, do I have all this right?
I saw the emails, Brittany.
Yeah. You know, Nicole, you didn't really have to reinforce it.
I'm sorry.
Was just talking to her.
I just wanted to make sure.
Yeah, that's
you knew
okay.
I
yeah.
Could,
Stop
I
being
could
so thorough. We are not impressed by your thoroughness. I'm embarrassed. Okay. But in the meantime, beautiful job. Now, Nicole, we were just talking about a need to hear the pastor's stories. And what do you recommend, Nicole, helping our listeners tell the kind of stories that need to be heard?
Well, it's easy. Listeners can start by joining our sponsor, who we love so very much, the Houston Storytellers Guild, where they can learn to tell stories in the safest, most supportive environment ever imagined. They also can, you know, become students of Dr. Hank Rubichek at U of H downtown and learn as much as well. But back to the Storytellers Guild, they do meet every month on the fourth Tuesday at Temple Emmanuel, located at 1500 Sunset, or you can go to their website at www.houstonstorytellers.org for upcoming events and all of our past So What's Your Story programs, and it's every show since 2008. Make sure you just go to the menu under radio programs to check it out. And also, we do urge our listeners to tell us what you think about our shows and suggest program ideas by going to our Facebook page, So What's Your Story. You also can email us at sowhatsyourstory@gmail.com. We are on Instagram, So What's Your Story 90.1, and Twitter at the same place. So there's many, many, many ways that you guys can contact us. And we'd love it if you tell us your friends about us. Make sure you like our Facebook page on the way out, and make sure you follow us too. And we don't want to forget our wonderful YouTube channel. So What's Your Story 90.1 as well, where you will see recorded shows that we do live right here in the studios. But we don't want to forget about our friends at The Moth, which meets at the second Tuesday of the month at Warehouse Live. And the next August 8th, which is this year, the next August 8th, I hope y'all caught that, their theme will be caution, guys. So caution and be aware. And their grand slam will be on September 8th at Cullen Auditorium on the campus of U of H. And our own Greg Audell and Hank Rubichek will be two of the storytellers. Now, real quick, I want to talk about a movie premiere that is going on this weekend on July 29th at Matchbox Theater, where last week's guest, Courtney Glauday, was here in the studio telling us about his new film, Blink. Now, So What's Your Story will be on the scene. It starts at 5 and 8 p.m. So make sure you check it out. Make sure you go to our Facebook page. You'll find all the information there as well.
Thank you, Nicole. And we also want to say that Courtney's movie is about abuse.
Yes,
and
it is about domestic violence.
I think we would all be hard-pressed to find a topic that is more timely. Anything that speaks to the issue of physical and emotional abuse and how to curtail this incredible social disease for lack of another label, is really worth it. So right. again, that's and, Blink on Saturday.
And a lot of people misconstrue that it only happens to women, but women are not the only victims. No. So men, women, children, we need your support too.
Absolutely. Nicole, you know, Little Birdie told me that you will be Dr. Mary Edgerton's guest next week. Is that right?
That is so correct.
You're going to be telling your collected stories about how strange we all are, or what will you be doing?
I am going to be talking about some of my hosts, and I'm going to apologize today in advance. So you guys won't be mad at me next week when I go live on the air with some crazy stories, including the Uber Chronicles, guys. Make sure you tune in.
Oh, yeah. Listen, but, you know, on a very serious note, we are really honored to have you as our guest because you have got a range of stories with experiences most can't imagine. And frankly, it's about time that we place you in the limelight. So make sure that everybody focuses on next week because Nicole will be Mary's guest and you're not going to want to miss it. But why would you want to miss any week, right, Randy? Why would you want to miss any week, right?
Yeah.
Can you imagine missing this, Pastor?
I cannot imagine missing this.
But abuse, we just want to talk about that for a minute. I saw, you know, we were all kind
needed,
of nodding.
A needed subject.
It really is. It's a terrible subject and it's one that we sometimes try to avoid, but that would be so incredibly counterproductive.
Right.
KPFT 90.1 FM Houston, Pacifica Radio, fueled by peace with guest teller, Dr. Bishop Titus Stewart. Dr. Stewart, in a form of caution, I would imagine that it is a risk for many to trust in something greater than themselves, kind of using a segue from caution. What do you think?
I will concur with that it is a risk for many to trust in something greater than themselves. But the danger of trusting in yourself is that you could be a detriment to yourself. You can mislead, misguide yourself. Mm-hmm. I believe we ought to always seek for a higher resource or a source, should I say, that can serve as a guide, that can help point us to wisdom. And help us to see a different perspective and so that we do not get caught up in what I will call constant mistake and cycles in our lives that takes us nowhere.
Yeah, I think that's a very, very good point. Caution is an interesting word. You know, to me, I really think about a yellow light because it means to slow down, right? Mm-hmm. And you want to proceed with caution. Not run through the light slowly if you're caught, you're ticketed. I know because I'm a regular in defensive driving. So you want to be really thoughtful and you want to pause before taking that action.
Right.
And you don't want to take it too literally. I'm always thinking about, I guess you can call it a joke, but it was one of the funniest episodes I've ever seen in a sitcom, Taxi. Do either of you gentlemen ever watch that?
Yes.
You know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Huh? Randy, you're almost a senior like me. Okay. Well, Taxi was really one of the funniest sitcoms, I thought, that was ever on the air. And there was this one episode that demonstrated the problems in looking at something too literally. So the Christopher Lloyd character, one of the cab drivers, needs to get his license renewed. Mm-hmm. And it's a written test. So he goes to the driver's bureau and he takes all of his buddies with him for moral support. Now, little do they know that he's really taking them with him because he wants to cheat. So his friends are about 5 or 6 feet away and Christopher Lloyd is taking this pencil and paper test and he turns to his friends and he says, "Psst, psst." And they turn to, "What? What do you want?" "What does a yellow light mean?" And they say to him, "Slow down." And then he responds, "What does a yellow light mean?" And they get frustrated. "Slow down. What does..." Okay, you get the idea. A little bit of levity. I just thought I'd throw that one in here. Okay, thank you very much. That's good.
That's
okay.
A good story.
Now, I find it hard to sometimes trust a higher being, but I turn to what Emerson once wrote for guidance, for personal guidance, and he wrote, "All I have seen teaches me to trust the Creator for all I have not seen," which for me tends to work. And I guess we all look for our own anecdotes. Randy, what helps you to trust in something higher?
Well, I got to say, you brought up the subject of abuse, and we I live in that world. That's where a part of my work is. I am a child of the sexual and physical assault from an early age. And the thing about it is when everything bigger than you is beating the crap out of you.
Wow.
And when everything bigger than you, you cannot trust it to speak truth. You cannot figure out the world around you. You become rather self-sufficient, and you become a survivor.
That's an amazing point.
And the move from that self-sufficiency is to find models, and I found it in people in the church.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I was so dysfunctional, I was able to become a mimic almost in my own mind. That's how a person who's loved acts. That's how a person who has it together acts. That's what a father looks like. That's what a mother looks like. That's what a brother looks like. And so looking around, I find then that my trust in a higher power came from, there's no way all of these people are so good without something else inspiring them.
That's good.
To care. There's got to be something behind all the love, even for me. So I'm always, that's my trust. That's my high power story.
Beautiful.
Thanks for letting me
respond. Absolutely.
I do that cautiously. I saw the yellow light, but I went on through.
Go for it. Absolutely. Your next story, Bishop, is prepare to accelerate, which implies our collective need to build trust. And I can't think of anything more essential. Tell us your story.
Well, I can just somewhat feed off of my friend Randy here as it relates to this subject, prepare to accelerate. Response to that and my position is I had to get around people that could help, as the Bible says, iron sharpened iron. I had to get around people who could help me see a better me, that see my potential and to see my innate abilities and then help me prepare for my purpose in life.
Do you have a situation that you can share with us, in a particular example? An important one.
Besides being a preacher, I'm also a musician. And so I had an idol, an icon, who I followed, who tutored me, trained me, taught me, rebuked me, scorned me, and then brought me back into the training room and made me do it all over again. Because of that type of tutelage that I set up under, I was able to be an accomplished musician. Because someone took me by the hand and was willing to show me, spend time with me, and they saw my future when I didn't see it, but they began to prepare me for it. And when grand opportunities were presented, because I was prepared years earlier, when that opportunity presented itself, I was called upon to seize that opportunity, and it allowed me to meet many great people and to serve on many great platforms.
Describe this model, this icon. What kind of adjectives would you associate with this person? Why was he so influential?
They were, of course, super talented, creative. They were different in their style, their approach to music, their interpretation of music, and the spirit that that gelled with their delivery and their put out. It was music that caused you to sit up and pay close attention. I was one of those kids in church while the other ones were playing and what have you. I was very attentive to the music pit because of the skills and the creativity of a young man who that I would try to imitate when I would go home and get on my keyboard, because he left such a great impression upon me.
You play the organ?
I play the organ. I play the piano. I play keyboards.
Very, very good. How'd you get interested initially in playing a keyboard?
Well, I didn't.
my mother said, you're going to do something, and you're not going to play with a football all day long. And so she enrolled me into a music school, and I was forced to learn the craft. I was forced until I loved the craft.
Let's go back and have some fun with this. Yeah. Recreate the dialogue with your mom.
Whoa, in my house.
Yeah. Tell us the story. You know, recreate that dialogue with your mom.
Mom, I'm not in. Mom, do I have to do this? do I have to practice? Yes, you're going to practice. Can I go outside and play with my friends? Absolutely not. You're going to dedicate yourself to learning how to read sight music, whether you want to or not.
No choice.
No choice.
How did you feel about that?
I hated it, Hank.
Yeah, well, really go ahead and say it. I hated that.
I hated it.
My mother tells me I can't have any friends. She tells me I can't go out and play football. What the heck?
I hated it, Hank.
Yeah.
I really did. But you know what? I appreciate that amazing woman today.
I just got one question.
Yes.
Is your son enrolled in piano lessons right now?
No, right now he's enrolled in the Air Force.
Oh, okay.
Very good.
Did you enroll him?
And he plays football. No, I'm just, yeah, okay.
Did you enroll him in?
I gave him an option. And,
okay.
That, he chose that option.
Okay,
oh,
all
just
right.
Two options. Two. You can have this or that.
It was either be evicted or enrolled. So he chose
Wow.
Enrolled.
Okay.
All
wow.
right, all right.
Evicted or enrolled. Let me think which one I'll take. I have to think about that one, Dad. I'll get back to you. Randy, what do you think?
I'm looking up here, I'm kind of wondering, listening. Mm-hmm. Can you string together kind of an overarching story to all your stories? What's your
or kind of a parable? Yeah, kind of a moral.
Yeah,
or,
is there a metaphor even if you have it? For,
that links all of your stories together. Mm-hmm. The three that you just were sharing.
I am a fan, and I'm very intrigued, and I love studying and researching the parable about the lost son.
Hmm. Why that one?
Because that I was that guy.
Okay.
I was that guy that felt he knew it all, mm-hmm. Went before his time. Mm-hmm. And got out there with the wrong crowd, mm-hmm. and I lost my identity, mm-hmm. lost who I was, mm-hmm. and found out that the world will misuse you, use you, abuse you, and once they get all the goods out of you, they are completely done with you. And it took me falling and to appreciate when I was able to stand again and reflect that things were better where I left it versus reaching for something that actually had a death throat to it, mm-hmm. or a death rope to it. And I believe that was the objective of the enemy, to destroy my life. But so, I'm so glad that my father did not give up on me.
I was going to ask, in the metaphor, you've been celebrated back, I take it. Homecoming has happened.
Yes. My father, no matter how terrible of a young man that I was, mm-hmm. he never gave up on me.
And now the next question, because that parable actually has another part, and that's the brother that rejects. Were there folks in your life that rejected you when you came back?
You better believe it, Randy. Yeah. That was truly my story. Mm-hmm. You would think that Christians would welcome a once son back into the fold, but that was not the mm-hmm. case. Mm-hmm. I didn't get my scars from those on the street. Mm-hmm. I got my scars from those in the house.
There must be a
God.
Lot of guilt associated with that, you know. Right?
Most definitely, yeah. And it brought a
well,
lot
you know,
of hate.
You know, as we know, you know, Jews invented guilt, and Christians really did pretty much refine it.
We did.
So mm-hmm. yeah, it's a great relationship. Yeah,
yes.
But guilt has got to be a part of that. So difficult.
Mm-hmm.
It is time for Tip for the Teller, isn't it, Nicole? Oh my gosh, son of a gun! There's a little song. Thank you, that goofy little song. It's time for Tip for the Teller. You know, Tips for the Teller is when we take a minute to share a tip to help you darn your yard. We receive a lot of questions, believe it or not, about what is arguably the most important story that parents and most adults will ever tell. Bedtime stories. The adult-child connection promoted through a world of magic, through these stories as well, magic. And there are many ways to find the right story to tell. Consider favorite bedtime stories for you or your young listener. Explore various anthologies. Take a field trip through the children's section in bookstores. Take a look online and listen to performance tapes of storytellers. Now, I'm not going to pretend to have a theory about telling the best kind of bedtime story, but here is what I can safely recommend. It ought to be short. I mean, after all, how long do you want your kid to stay up, right? Okay. It shouldn't give your children nightmares. And I know that sounds really scary, but sweet dream, sweetheart, doesn't make any sense. The story should invite repetition. Kids love hearing a story over and over again. It should be a child-friendly specific genre, short versions of fairy tales, myths, fables, etc. It ought to be rhythmic and fun for both the child and the teller. And children will want to hear it again that night, but they can't. You know why? It's time for nighty-night. Isn't that right? Mm-hmm. Now, those are just some general things that we should be thinking about in terms of bedtime stories. But there's a real reason I wanted to share this. A, I do get some emails about bedtime stories. And B, we don't talk enough about these standard kind of stories that we as adults tell our children, mm-hmm. whether they be Bible stories or fairy tales or fantasies. The idea of connecting with a child, an adult connecting with the child, letting them know that through words and gesture and posture and form, we can actually create a sense of magic. Without that, children are not going to understand the beauty of language. They're not going to understand the beauty of what language can do rhythmically. And certainly, they're not going to understand the power of story. But it isn't time to say nighty night to you, listeners, because Bishop Stewart has a final story dubbed Yes, You Can, which I think kind of punctuates the heart of tonight's narratives. Share it with us.
Yes, you can. I believe in the power to be. You can be anything that you set your heart out to be, and there are no limits that can stop that, that can cause that not to become a reality in your life. And so, yes, you can. You can excel. You can dream. You can envision. You can soar. You can reach the highest mountain. You can fly like an eagle. And there is nothing that can stop a person who has a yes you can mentality and a belief mechanism that flows through them that causes them to do the unimaginable.
Right.
And so there's a creative genius and a creative force that resides in all of us. And I say, wake him up.
I tell my students, forget about the IQ. Go with the I will.
I like that.
Does that make sense?
Can I use it?
You can use it.
Thank you.
Yes. And don't worry about the royalties. Really won't cost that much. You know, Nicole's probably writing that down right now. Absolutely. But give us, and that's a wonderful anecdote. Give us an example, and I don't mean to put you on the spot, but a story of a friend or yourself that occurred when that individual said, I don't think I can do this. I don't think I can do this. And everybody around that person says, you know, you probably can't do it. But you say to yourself, yes, I can. And somehow you succeed. Is there a story that you can share with us that falls under that category?
Yes, Hank, I remember when I was much younger, I was afraid.
How much younger can you be? How old are you?
I'm 47.
Oh, for God's sakes. You know, that is so young. It's almost pathetic. But go ahead. Okay, you claim you're 47 and you think that's middle age. It's not. Go ahead.
Hanging out at the swimming pool one summer, afraid of water. One day there was something, a voice inside of me saying, today you're going to do this. You're going to do this. There was an episode in my life when I was pushed in the water against my will. Mm. And Randy, I really saw my life flash before me. And at that point, I never imagined ever swimming again. But this one particular day, I said, I'm going to conquer that defeated episode that happened to me before. And that day, I had a yes, you can moment, encounter. And I've been swimming ever since in 5 feet of water.
Well, how did you, what happened in 5 feet of water? That's good. But tell everybody that you're 4'6". That makes it a little more intriguing.
That is so true.
Okay. But the notion is, but what is it that told you I'm going to conquer it? I know we're talking voices, but what was it that told you I'm going to conquer this?
The refusal to live like that. I had decided that fear would no longer reside in my life, and that this would be one particular juncture in my life that I'm going to conquer. And I was tired of fear riding on my back and controlling my movements. And so that became a day I decided to choke fear out of my life.
Yeah.
And welcome the opportunity of a yes you can to manifest.
I have experienced a lot of situations, seriously, where I have been told I cannot do something. And there are times I couldn't because I knew my own limitations. But there were times that I became so angry. It was the anger that helped me overcome some of that fear. Does mm-hmm. that make any sense? It was the anger saying, how dare
sure.
any of you say that about me?
Mm-hmm.
Sure. You know, I have shared on many different occasions about my relationship with my son, which is marvelous, and I had to work very hard for it because I came home one day and my son was taken away by his mother. And there's a lot of things that I could have done mm-hmm. legally, but none of them would have helped me to establish a relationship with him. And everybody told me, well, you know, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. I mean, and I said, I'm going to go there every month and see him. And they said to me, everyone said this, including my mother, saying, well, listen, you probably won't, but don't worry about it. The more everybody said you won't, the more I knew I would, and I did. I went for 17 consecutive years, every month. I even kept the stubs from my airline tickets to prove it to myself later in life, just for myself. And that was the most important thing I've ever done because it redefined me and it allowed me to somehow realize that overcoming fear is, first of all, being able to address the anger that is, you know, although superficially, really encases that fear. I was angry that anybody would think I'd be afraid enough to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that was a voice. It was saying, you know, there's no way that I'm going to let anything like this stop me because it's something that's far too important. Far too important. And it's something that I really recognized to be a voice that I will always hold on to and always remember both in tone and in form. And it was really a very critical issue to me. Let me just personalize it a little bit. Who was the storyteller in your house growing up?
My father, Hank.
Yeah. What kind of stories did he tell you?
Well, my father would always blackmail me with the Santa
good.
Claus story. You know, if you don't go to school mm-hmm. and do bring good grades home, mm-hmm. Santa would not have anything under the tree for you.
And you believed it.
And I believed
you
it.
You believed it, of course you did.
I believed it.
Until you were, what, 38? Or did you?
Until I was 46.
46, okay.
47 now.
So what did he say to you? He said, how did he take Santa Claus so seriously that you would actually buy into it? You know what I'm saying?
As a kid,
Santa will not bring you those gifts, and I know that you're expecting him, that guy with the beard, and he'll be here soon. But you know what? I'm going to tell him not to show up because you're not behaving, and I have a personal relationship with Saint Nick. You may not know that, but I do. Something like that? That sounds pretty good, actually, doesn't it?
Yeah. Matter of fact, you sound like my father.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
But he did something like that.
Well, talking to a kid who had a want list. Mm-hmm. What'd you want?
Football?
I wanted everything.
Yeah.
I had a long list.
Yeah.
And so my father would say to me that if you don't do good and do your chores, mm-hmm. Go to bed when you're supposed to go to bed, mm-hmm. Wash, clean out your ears, brush your teeth, do your hygienic things,
right.
Bring good grades home. I'm going to just scratch off certain things from
your
wants
list. Wow, that is a long list. That's like a doctor saying, I want you to lose weight, stop smoking, and be on a diet, you know? That's like a lot of stuff at once, huh? Especially for a kid.
Well,
but you did
Santa
it.
Claus.
You did all that stuff?
Well, I didn't succeed at all.
Okay. But so he was kind of giving, right? He still got you the stuff, even though you didn't do it all.
Yeah,
or not.
That's why I like the story of the prodigal son.
Oh, well, there's a good point. There's a good point. Very, very good. What kind of stories did you like other than that? Did he ever tell you bedtime stories or stories about his own life?
He did not tell me a lot of stories about his own life.
Tell us about it. What was he like, your dad?
My father was a giant of a man.
Is he still with us?
He's not with us today. But he was an amazing man. He was, when he walked in the room, I thought he was a Goliath, if I can put it like that.
Sure.
He was very gentle. He was an example of a man. He was reliable. He was there. He had a listening ear. He showed us he cared about us, and he took the time with all of us. I have six of us, mm-hmm. and my father found time as a pastor. He still found time to rear us as his children and let us know, hey, Dad is here, not just in word, but in practice.
Somehow I don't think he threw the football around with you in the front yard, did he?
No, that had to go in the backyard with that one.
Yeah, because you ain't got to hide that one. Okay, very good. How do our listeners want to get a hold of you? Tell us about your website. Tell us about your email. Tell us anything that you want about connecting with you. Or should Brittany do the talking? Or what do you think?
Brittany knows my life, so I think I'll turn it over to her.
Okay, Brittany, tell us a little bit about how to contact Dr. Stewart, if we want to.
Okay.
And I think we might. We might have a lot of questions.
Yes. So you
have good listeners. They're an inquisitive group.
You are able to follow Dr. Titus Stewart on all social media. So that's Instagram, Facebook, Twitter at TB Stewart Ministries, TB Stewart Ministries, as well as Dr. Titus Stewart on all social media. His website is www.tbstewartministries.org. As well as, like I said, he's on all social media. Follow him. Be sure to follow us and stay tuned and stay connected.
Thank you so much. And Titus was kind enough to give me some of his books, Prepare to Accelerate, Say It Until You See It, and You Wear Favor Well. Coincidentally, very similar to the stories that he shared tonight. These are obviously some extended versions. I'm very much looking forward to those. Randy, what did you think about tonight? Quick hour, huh?
Wonderful. Thank you for it.
Are you kidding?
It's an honor.
It is an honor. Yeah, right. Is it really?
It really is.
Yeah. I realize this is the most popular show, at least in North America, but nevertheless, I mean, it's like, how'd you feel about it? Good a show, huh?
It's been awesome, Hank.
Yeah?
It's been awesome.
Okay.
Yes.
And you're a man of your word, and I know that you're telling me the truth. I know you are telling me the truth. You have any shout-outs? Anybody you want to say hello to?
Well, I would like to shout out to my church home, Great Emmanuel Family Worship Center, my lovely wife, Lady Tammy Stewart, to my mother, Carrie Stewart, and to all of our TB Stewart followers. Hello. Thank you for tuning in, if you can hear me. God bless you.
Thank you so much. You know, don't you dare miss next week when Mary entices Nicole to tell all, in story form, of course. Thank you, Bishop Titus Stewart, for reinforcing the strength of story as a channel for spreading the kind of wisdom that feed our spirits and touch our lives. And to my friend and co-host, Dr. Randy Robinson, I speak for the team when I thank you for adding your personal love of story and tireless support to this program. You did a great job.
Thank you.
Brian and Jason are next with To Tell the World. Make 90.1 a part of every day, and while you're driving home, turning in for the night, or just chilling, join us every Wednesday at 8 p.m. for So What's Your Story? And treasure what you hear. You keep loving a great story, and we're going to keep bringing them to you. Because our So What's Your Story team will forever be reminding you that it is never too late to live happily ever after. Peace.
The Veterans Retreat Center and Project Respect host a back-to-school youth talent showcase on Saturday, August 5th from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. Contestants ages 5 to 18 enter the showcase free of charge with a chance to win a trophy. The Veterans Retreat Center will also hand out free school supplies to local students. For more information, contact Teresa Pham at 832-452-4598 or by email at veteransretreatonmounthouston@gmail.com. KPFT Houston.
By joining KPFT's Sustainer program this hour, you can support your local non-commercial station and help KPFT reduce its pledged drives. Rather than giving a yearly gift, Sustainers give a monthly donation that continues as long as you want. Giving 5, 20, 100, or more monthly helps change the way KPFT works. Sustainers help us meet our operating expenses without days and days of on-air fundraising. That means less pledge drive, more efficiency, and greater stability for KPFT, regardless of the time of year. Again, visit KPFT.org to make a difference today. This is 90.1 KPFT Houston, KPFT.org worldwide.